So, Hare Krishna, I've been asked to speak by devotees in Mayapur. This will go to devotees elsewhere also, obviously. So for Mayapur, I was thinking to sing, but you know, Thakur is the modern day rediscoverer of Sri Mayapur Dham. So the obvious, well, there are so many songs, kirtans he's written, and probably the most obvious one is Kobe Gaurabane Shurad Huni Tarte. But I'm not going to sing that. I'm going to sing another one. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I'm not going to sing that just now. I'm going to sing Bhaktivinoda Thakur's longing for the darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees in Mayapur Dham. Well, it could be anywhere, but especially in Mayapur Dham, their eternal residence. So, ready to go? You want to sing also? You want to look it up?
Yes.
Gurudev Kobe Tava Karuna Prakashe. Gurudev Kobe Tava Karuna Prakashe. Gurudev Kobe Tava Karuna Prakashe. Sri Gauranga Lila Hoi Nita Tata Idrira Bishase. Sri Gauranga Lila Hoi Nita Tata Idrira Bishase. Hari Hari Bali Godruma Kanane Brahmibo Darshana Ashe. Hari Hari Bali Godruma Kanane Brahmibo Darshana Ashe. Nitai Gauranga Adaita Srivas Gadadhara Panchajan. Nitai Gauranga Adaita Srivas Gadadhara Panchajan. Krishna Nama Rashe Bhasha Bejagata Kari Maha Sankirtan. Krishna Nama Rashe Bhasha Bejagata Kari Maha Sankirtan. Nartana Bilash Mridanga Badana Shunibo Apana Kane. Nartana Bilash Mridanga Badana Shunibo Apana Kane. Dekhiya Dekhiya Shailila Madhuri Bhashibo Premera Bane. Dekhiya Dekhiya Shailila Madhuri Bhashibo Premera Bane. Na Dekhiya Ba Shailila Ratana Kandi Ha Gauranga Bali. Nadekhiya ba shilila rata kandiya ha gauranga bali. Bishoyi amare bishoyi pagala baliya angete dibeka dhuli. Amare bishoyi pagala baliya angete dibeka dhuli. Gurudev kabe tava karuna prakashe. Gurudev kabe tava karuna prakashe. Actually, the first line I just sung to finish, but it's a long sentence. It's not just... Anyway, I'll give a quick translation of this. praying to Gurudev, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Actually, I said it could be sung anywhere, but specifically in Godrum, in the forest of Godrum, he's praying, when will your Gurudev's mercy be manifest? And then, by myself having firm faith that the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are eternal reality, then with this firm faith, wandering in the forests of Godruma, calling out, Hari, Hari, wandering about with a very deep and strong desire to see Nitai Gauranga Advaita Srivas and Gadadha, these five, plus many others, absorbed in the rasa of Krishna Nama and the mridanga sounding, Krishna Nama Roshe, Bhashabe, but absorbed in the rasa of the chanting the names of Krishna, they're drowning the whole universe in a Maha Sankirtana. I'll see myself this is his desire, Bhaktivinoda's desire, their pastimes of dancing, and here I will hear with my own ears the sound of the drums, mridangas, and seeing this beautiful, sweet pastimes, I myself will float in the flood of Krishna prema. And then again, not seeing, because Krishna, sometimes he shows himself, sometimes he doesn't. And then again, not seeing, actually he's seeing, is revealed to him, then again not seeing, that jewel of pastimes. He again calling out, crying, Ah, Gauranga, Ah, Gauranga. And seeing this, the materialistic people, I'm very much hoping, he's praying for the mercy of his guru, that I'm very much hoping that the materialistic people will call me mad and out of contempt. Let them throw dust on my body, just like some madman just pick up some dust from the ground, throw it on him, and then just get out of here. They don't want me anymore. But you know, Thakur went to live in Godrum, and the materialistic people were calling him, come back and do your government service. He just, let me go mad, and then they won't call me anymore. That was his prayer. Speaking to devotees, I'd like to speak now to specifically devotees in Mayapur have asked me to speak. I'll speak on Vishnu Sahasranama, which is very dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We learn from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtam Manum Api Shachiputram Atra Swarupam Rupam Tasya Agrajamurupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhava Shamprapta Yasya. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Continuing with discussion of the name Durdhara, name 720, who is very difficult to control, and especially in this session, we'll discuss about child Krishna, who is very difficult to control. And this discussion, it segues into the next name, which is Aparajita, unconquerable. So Duhadhara can be understood to mean who is very, I've been discussing previously, is very difficult to get. He's very difficult to control. Who's going to control Krishna? It's very difficult even to control our own mind. We can't control our own body, what we think is our body. It gets sick, it gets old, and we have to pass stool, and we can't control it. Or we want to pass stool, and we can't get it out. We can't even control our own. We think we're the body, but we can't control it. The yogis try to control the mind, and they can't control it. And how to control God? Well, someone controls him. That's Mother Yashoda, but it's not easy. The first person who controls us in this material world, we're all controlled. We're under the control of Maya, the female energy. She controls us. And living beings who in this world take the male form, they have the conceit, the abhiman, or the false conception that I'm controlling, although they're controlled by the female energy. We're all controlled by Maya, the female energy, who works as the shadow of Krishna. Just like a shadow, if you have a hand, and the light is on you, you shake your hand, then the shadow will also shake. So in this way, Durga, Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Bibharati Durga, she works as the shadow of Krishna. She's under the control of Krishna. We're under the control of her. And in our human existence, as in other existences, the first control we have as a child is the control of the mother. That's what mothers do. They control the children. In the beginning, they don't attempt to control them, their behavior. The child can cry, pass stool. The mother doesn't try to control it. But she tries to control the movements by, for instance, putting the child, you hang up the sari and then shake the baby back and forth, swing the baby back and forth. Or nowadays, you're not allowed to do that. You have to buy a swing, a baby swing, because it's not considered respectable to just use an old sari. So the child's movement is it's always watching the child. And as the child gets a little older, then controlling the child. Hey, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. I here in South India, I don't understand the local languages, but I sometimes see the mothers interacting with their sons, and sometimes the mother is chastising the son, and the son takes, he may argue back, something like this, but it's very clear there's a relationship. The mother's in charge, she's controlling. And the son may grumble a bit, but he has to submit. And then later they grow up, and then the man is controlled by a wife. So this idea of freedom, where's the freedom? The man happily submits himself to his wife. So this child Leela, Yashoda, especially. Krishna is known as being a very naughty child. We don't hear about Ram. He's very good. Krishna's not good. Krishna's not good. Yeah? Krishna's not good. Ask Mother Yashoda. Is he good? He's not good. He's not good, but I love him. He's always naughty. You hear in Bengal also in the village, hey, Tui otto dushto, you're so the mother is complaining. Sometimes the mother complains to him. He's such a naughty boy, or the same thing. But it's with love, and Mother Yashoda also, Parashar Bhatta. He used the word chanchal. Oh, oti chanchal, chanchal like the wind. Chanchalang hi mana Krishna pramati balavadridham. Tasyaham nigrahang manye vayoriva sudushkaram. This word chanchal is used by Arjuna to describe how difficult it is to control the mind, more difficult than controlling the wind. And sometimes mothers may say that about their son, oh, so chanchal, so you don't know what he's going to do next. So Parashara Bhatta gives his understanding, or one of his understandings of the word durdhara. Balalidadi prasangeshu matta matangavat tabham durdhara durvara chanchala cheshtitaha. Beginning from his childhood. It wasn't that he became well behaved when he got older, but beginning from his childhood, he was like having a mad elephant at home. Can you imagine having a mad elephant in your house? No, we can't imagine. It's unimaginable. But Krishna is just like that, durdhara. Very, very difficult to get a hold of, to get to control. From Vishnu Purana, Mother Yashoda ties up Krishna to the grinding mortar and then says to him, Yadi shaknoshi gachatvam ati chanchala cheshtita. Now you see, you always naughty boy, always doing all kinds of weird and wild things. Now you see if you can get away, she says to him. We have in the Damodar Ashtaka, we sing daily during the month of Damodar about this Damodar Lila, how Mother Yashoda eventually controlled Krishna. She eventually controlled him by, that's one way to control a child, tie him up. And that may be done. That's an old system in the Indian villages. You tie a child up. Not that you tie him up just like pinned to a wall or something, but just like a dog on a leash. You tie them around the waist, and then another extension of the rope to something solid, so they can move around a bit, but they can't get into too much trouble. But Krishna did anyway. He pulled the mortar and pulled down the trees and could have killed himself. Oh, Yashoda got in trouble after that. Everyone, Nanda and everyone else, they didn't want to talk. What are you doing, tying him up? He almost killed himself. And Krishna, after he was released that evening, usually he'd run to Yashoda, but he didn't. He ran to Nanda. I'm not going to go to her. She'll tie me up, as if very afraid of her. So we learn from Damodar Ashtakam, Satyavrata Muni, Rudantam Muhunetra Yugmam Rajantam Karambhoja Yugmena Satanka Netra Muhushwasa Kampa Chire Kanka Kanta Stita Graiva Damodarang Bhakti Badham. Upon seeing his mother's whipping stick, he, Krishna, cried and rubbed his eyes again and again with his two lotus hands. My hands aren't lotus hands. His hands are lotus hands. His eyes were fearful and his breathing quick, and as Mother Yashoda bound his belly with ropes, he shivered in fright. Again and again, Muhushwasakampa, and his pearl necklace shook. Trireka Kanta. Trireka Kanta. I guess that's supposed to. It could also mean that his three lines on his throat, which are also which are also shaking as he shivers in fright. To this Supreme Lord Sri Damodar, who is bound with his devotee's love, I offer my humble obeisances. So there you go, yogis. You can't even reach him. You can't even get anywhere near him. But Mother Yashoda is tying him up. Here's a quote from Srila Prabhupada's most glorious Krishna book. Sometimes Mother Yashoda used to ask Krishna to bring her a wooden plank for sitting. Although the wooden plank was too heavy to be carried by a child, still, somehow or other, Krishna would bring it to his mother. Sometimes his father, while worshipping Narayana at home, Nanda Maharaj would worship Narayana Shila, Nrsimha Shila. He would ask Krishna to bring his wooden slippers, and Krishna, with great difficulty, would put the slippers on his head and bring them to his father. When he was asked to lift some heavy article and was unable to lift it, he would simply move his arms. In this way, daily, at every moment, he was the reservoir of all pleasure for his parents. The Lord was exhibiting such childish dealings with the inhabitants of Vrindavan because he wanted to show the great philosophers and sages, searching after the absolute truth, how the supreme absolute truth, personality of Godhead, is controlled by and subject to the desires of his pure devotees. So Durdhara means hard to get. But once you get him, you got him. once you get him, you tie him up by love. But he's even if you get him, not so easy. Then we can't get him as long as we are not in full love of him, but controlling him by love, well, it's like controlling a mad elephant or something. Bucking bronco. Hard to get a control of. You can say that I tamed a wild horse, but it's the horse by nature. Even if you tame a wild horse, it still has that inherent wildness in him. You always have to keep on top of him. It's not that, okay, now he's under control. Not like that. So these pastimes, Satyavrata Muni says, his childhood pastimes, Itidrik Swalilab here Ananda Kunde Swaghosham Nimajantam Akyapanta. Itidrik Swalilab here Ananda Kunde. In this way, Krishna drowns the inhabitants of Vrindavan in a pool of bliss, and Swaghosham Nimajantam Akyapayantam Tadiye shita geshu bhaktaya jitatvam puna prematastang shata riti vande. To those devotees of Vaikuntha, this aspect of Krishna is durdhara for them. They can't get that far. They can't. They don't have access to that. They hear about it and they wonder about it, but they can't get into that. Therefore, those super excellent pastimes of Lord Krishna's babyhood drown the inhabitants of Gokul in pools of ecstasy to the devotees who are attracted only to his majestic aspect of Narayana in Vaikuntha. The Lord herein reveals, I am conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. To the Supreme Lord, my obeisance is hundreds and hundreds of time. So again, this leads right into the next name, the unconquered, unconquerable God, Aparajita, his childhood activities. And you think he was bad in his childhood, and he just gets worse. You might think this a boy is naughty when he's young, but when he grows up, you expect, spare the rod, spoil the child, give him a few lashings, and he should become good. But then Krishna, Can't control them. Even if you control the mind, doesn't mean you can control Krishna. His childhood pastimes is running in the forest, playing with his cowherd boyfriends. We hear a lot about Krishna dancing with the gopis, but he, in the daytime, he's dancing with the cowherd boys. Dancing, running, playing. A lot of dancing also. They like to play. They have their flutes, right? Their flutes. Someone plays the flute and then you can patter on something, make a drum sound, and singing and dancing. But a different mood, of course. It's a mood of little warriors, heroic young boys. They're playing at killing demons, and sometimes, well, quite a lot, quite often, real demons come, and then they have a real demon to kill. So Krishna, he has such delightful pastimes in his childhood. And if you really want to control the mind, the best way is to meditate on those pastimes. This idea of getting a peaceful mind, ashantasya kutasukam, from one whose mind is not peaceful, where is the question of happiness? That's a beginning, but the highest happiness is to follow in the footsteps of Mother Yashoda, whose her mind is not peaceful. She's always disturbed by thoughts of, oh, Krishna, what's he doing? He's out in the forest. I hope Balaram's looking after him very well. So many demons come and attack him. Or when Krishna's at home, before he goes out daily with to take out the calves and later the cows, he's such a naughty boy. So she never has any peace. Women can never know any peace because they have children. Children are not peaceful. But Krishna's unpeacefulness is far more relishable than the peacefulness, stilling of the mind, chitta vritti nirodha of the yogis. That's not relishable at all. What do you want to stop the mind for? Think of Krishna much better. Name 721 is aparajita. If you see the syllable a at the beginning of a word in Sanskrit, we can know that in most, if not all cases, it's a word formed by negation. The word a, nihi, nir, nish, at the beginning, gives negation. Now, parajit means who is defeated, who has been conquered, and aparajit means never defeated, never conquered. Invincible. Invincible. Just like we have in at the beginning of English words. We don't usually hear the word vincible, but in at the beginning of English words. Conceivable, inconceivable. It's an important word in English, in our Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding. But some words, the positive form is almost lost, just like innocuous, not harmful, but we don't often hear the word ocuous. ingenuous. Genuous, we don't often hear. Anyway, it's invincible. Krishna's invincible. So aparajita, jita, jaya. Jaya means victory. Jita means conquering. Krishna Datta Bharadvaj gives the explanation. Na parajita kadapi kenapi iti parajita. Here's given parajita, but it should be aparajita. Who is not conquered at any time by anyone in any way that is understood, can be called aparajita. Aparajita is a common name of Durga, common in Vedic culture. She is not conquered. There are many narrations in the Puranas, how she fights with various demons, kills them, especially famous Mahishasura, very famous in Mahishur, the Mysore, she who killed Mahishasura. So unconquered, and so many other demons, all the demons, they're all conquered by her. They may think they're great conquerors, but whoever they may be, Napoleon, Hitler, Stalin, they're all conquered ultimately by the material energy. And actually, even when they think they're conquering, they're still at the time conquered by the material energy. Aparajita is also a name of Radha. Don't tell that to Krishna. He won't agree. She's unconquered. He thinks he's conquering her. He's wrong. Krishna doesn't always get it right. Only when he's speaking Bhagavad Gita. In Vrindavan, he's a different personality, it seems, altogether. The Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita and the Krishna in Vrindavan seems almost like a different personality. But we can't conquer him with our mind and understand him by his mind, by our minds. Well, to speak of Krishna, the same person, seems to be a different personality. Well, that is possible in someone's life. They may go through major changes in their lives. But even Krishna, he's the same person, but he is Matsyakarma, Varaha, Narasimha, Vamana, and so on. They seem to be very different persons. Narasimha and Vamana, how can that be the same person? They're very, very different persons. No, it's the same person. Multifaceted personality. That's another reason why Duradhara, hard to get. If you try to understand everything about him, then we don't. We may think, now I've been doing a doctoral thesis on the Vamana avatar and looking at this iconography and different old manuscripts, and I got it worked out, Vamana avatar. But you don't know anything about Narasimha avatar. Then we sing in the Nrisimha Vamana, in that song, the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur for waking up, Vibhava Rishesha, the moon is now ending. He juxtaposes those two names, Nrisimha Vamana. They also come in the recitation of the 10 avatars. So Krishna, he is Aparajita, unconquered, and Aparajita is the name of Radha. And the name is certainly applicable, especially if we consider that in material existence, we're always conquered, however big we may be. I just gave the example, Napoleon, whoever. At the present time, as I'm speaking this, and it will be forgotten quite soon, no doubt, the current president of the United States, who's been voted out of office, is making a big fuss, like a little baby. I don't want to get out of office. The problem is, he's not a little baby. He's the president of the United States, which does make a big, big fuss. He doesn't want to be conquered. It makes a big disturbance. If a little baby starts bawling and blabbering, then it's a baby. But if it's president of the United States, it does make a difficult situation for the citizens of the United States, I suppose. But whoever comes in next, they'll be conquered. Even if they get a full 8-year term, they have to go out by the law. They're under the control of the law. And even when Napoleon was conquering here and there, Hitler was conquering here and there, they were under the control of material energy. They're always, in material existence, we're always conquered, defeated. In the purport that Srila Prabhupada gives to Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 3, Text 14, he states, Maya is aparajita, and her influence is also aparajita. Invincible. Can't conquer over Maya. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport,
Daivihi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome. Only a devotee can surpass Maya's great influence. A devotee does so by taking shelter of he is who is unconquered, he to whom aparajita, the material energy, submits. So this name aparajita, it's also named one of the Rudras. It's a common Kshatriya name. Those who are familiar with the verses of Bhagavad Gita know that in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, it's actually not spoken by Bhagavan at all. It's spoken by Duryodhana. He refers to Satyakis cha parajita. That Satyaki, he's referring to the fighter Satyaki in the army of the Krishna, in the army of the Pandavas. He is undefeated. He's not defeated. So also the names of one of the sons of Dhritarashtra. He's killed by Bhima, like all the other sons of Dhritarashtra. And it's also the name of a son, one of the sons of Krishna. We have a verse quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sangrama Abhimukho Gacchan Sangsmared Aparajitam. When going into battle, one should remember Aparajita, remember Krishna as undefeated. Aparajita is also the name of one of the sannyasis in the Madhva Sampradaya, Aparajita Tirtha. So sannyasis are also meant for fighting. The traditional sannyas we think of is a sannyasi who... Sannyasi means he withdraws from the world and is detached from it. But beginning with Shankara Acharya in this Kali Yuga, he had sannyasis who were detached from the world and also involved in it for the sake of preaching and fighting. Fighting against all the wrong ideas. Well, Shankara, what they considered to be wrong ideas. And that tradition was followed also by Ramanuja, Madhvacharya, fighting sannyasis. Specifically, one in the Madhva line was called Aparajita Tirtha. The name Aparajita, named after the name of Vishnu, Aparajita, but also is expect that he will have that quality to have such a name. Satyadeva Vashishta gives the same meaning for the name, but he derives it differently by breaking up the Sanskrit a little differently. Apara, there is no one who is superior to him. Mataparataram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya. Krishna tells Dhananjaya, the conqueror of wealth, you got a lot of wealth, very good, but you're not superior to me. No one's superior to me, nothing is superior to me, Krishna says. So there's no possibility of his being vanquished by anyone else, so he's called Aparajita. So Aparajita can refer to many personalities. It could be for a Kshatriya who's unconquered. That means in the best Kshatriya. Ideally for a Kshatriya, you're never conquered. And if you're conquered once, you die, because you'd fight to the death. So it's a name for any heroic personality who's actually unconquered. But the most unconquered is Krishna, because he's Krishna. And someone may be apparently unconquered, but as I've said in this talk, everyone's conquered by Maya. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of great Caesar. Great Caesar was conquered by the movement of the eyebrows of Cleopatra. Srila Prabhupada mentions that in third canto of Bhagavatam, purport. Parashara Bhatta. getting back to his commentary, he quotes several examples where the devas, the demigods, have said that Bhagawan cannot be conquered by anyone. So first of all, he gives a quote, or he gives several quotes from Mahabharata. Ekam hanishyasi ripum garjantam tam maham ridhe natu tam pratayas yekam rakshate samahatmana yam ahur veda vidusho varaham ajitam harim narayanam achintyam cha tena krishnena rakshate. Indra said to Karna, Karna took a benediction from Indra. Indra is the father of Arjuna. Karna wants to kill Arjuna more than anyone else. He wants to kill Arjuna. But Indra told Karna, I will give you the power to kill any roaring hero, any great hero, warrior, but not the one you wish to kill, Arjuna. And Indra didn't say, because he's my son, but because he is protected by that great Lord Ajitam Hari, the unconquered Hari, the great unconquered Krishna, Ajitam, who is Narayana, who's inconceivable, who took the form of Varaha, wild boar, very powerful creature. Those who are Veda Vidusha, those who know the Vedas, they know that Narayana is the unconquered Varaha, Narayana, inconceivable Krishna. And Arjuna is protected by Krishna. So I can benedict you, Indra told Karna, but not to kill Arjuna. It's not within my power. I can't conquer. My varam, my boon, I can't give any boon to conquer Krishna. I don't have that power, he told him. Rudra, Lord Shiva, said to Jayadrata the same thing. Adhyangsh chapi avadhyangsh cha varayishyasi tanyudhi rite Arjuna mahabahum devairapi durasadam yam ahuf amitam devam shankha chakra gadadharam pradhana shostra vidusham tena krishnena rakshate as Indra had said to Karna. Now Shiva tells Jayadrata, he is protected by Krishna. So Arjuna was aparajita, unconquerable, because he was protected by aparajita, unconquerable Krishna. So Shiva told Jayadrata, he, Arjuna, is protected by Krishna. You will be able, Jayadrata said, Rudra said to Jayadrata, you will be able, there are so many very powerful, apparently invincible, indestructible warriors, you will be able, and not every day, just on this one day, to ward off all their attacks, but not that of Arjuna. Because even the demigods cannot assail him, because he is protected by Krishna, who is Shankha, Chakra, Gadadhara. Krishna has Shankha, Chakra, and Gada, the conch, the disc weapon, the club as a weapon. He also has a lotus for when he's peaceful, but the conch and the club and the disc, they're for fighting. The conch can be blown simply for auspiciousness, but it's particularly used Tatashankash, we find, what is that? In the beginning of Gita, Tatashankash, Tumalo, I know, as usual, not remembering. the sound of the conches was that Tathas Shankas Chabharyascha. The sound of the conches and the horns was very loud. So he tells, Rudra tells Jayadratha, you won't be able to cry. I can give you a boon, but I can't protect you. I can't. My power doesn't conquer that of Krishna. Krishna is unconquered and unconquerable. Jayastu Panduputranam Yesham Pakshe Janadana. Srila Prabhupada quotes that at the beginning of his commentary of Bhagavad Gita, that the Pandavas, they are unconquerable because Krishna's on their side. Another quote, Dhruvangvai Brahmane Satyam Dhruva Sadhushu Sannatihi Shrir Dhruva Chapi Daksheshu Dhruva Narayane Jayaha. Bhishma and Drona and others, they told Duryodhana, who's getting frustrated in the battle, I could have killed them. I could have killed all the Pandavas, finished them off without a trace. But Krishna's there as their protector. And just as certainly as truth is found in a Brahmana, humility is found in pious persons, and wealth is found in people who are very worldly intelligent. So also, victory is certain for Narayana. Arjuna was victorious even when Krishna was not directly present. Even in the case of Brihannala, the eunuch, apparent eunuch, who went to fight with all the Kauravas and defeated them all. On that occasion, he did. He had 13 years of pent-up anger. So there he was in his sari with braided hair, and Krishna wasn't directly present, but he's always present in the mind of Arjuna. So he defeated all the Kauravas on that occasion. Mm. But after Krishna left this world, Arjuna was defeated by some cowherd class brigands, it seems. And then Arjuna realized, then he really realized that his power came from Krishna. As long as Krishna's with him, then he is Arjuna. When Krishna is not with him, then he becomes as if an ordinary person. Parashara Bhatta quotes from the Ayurveda Charak Sanghita. You see, the real scholars of Vedic knowledge, they may specialize in some certain field, but they have a wide, wide knowledge. So he's quoting Charak Sanghita to again demonstrate the invincibility, unconquerability of Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So this is a mantra to be stated, to be recited, when one is about to prepare medicine. Specifically, there are many different processes for preparing. One of the processes is grinding, just like shilajit, some rock, or some herbs, just like the round black peppers that may be ground, and so many things like that, and ground the pepper, and then pipli, usually that's ground. There are different ways of making the various raw herbs effective, by boiling them, soaking them, fermenting them. There are various ways. So grinding, pounding them is one of the ways. So there's a statement in this regard. When one is One reason that the Ayurvedic medicines may not work as well as we want them to, there are various reasons. One reason is that it's all supposed to be done very much according to the, or exactly according to the Ayurvedic prescriptions, and there are so many different details. Should be the herbs should be picked on a certain date, according to the nakshatra and rashi, and so many different things. One of the things is that mantras have to be recited, and the physician himself has to be a following sadhana and so many different conditions. So anyway, this is a mantra. Yataham na bhijanami vasudeva parajayam. Vasudeva vasudeve parajayam. Matus chapani grahanam samudrasya chasoshanam. On the veracity of the following statements, may this medicine that be pounded and be effective. There is no defeat for Vasudev. So it's a statement, axiomatic statement. I have not witnessed the marriage of my mother. The ocean will never become completely dry. So these are statements which are irrefutable. I have not witnessed the marriage of my mother. Of course, nowadays, your mother may get divorced, or after widowhood may remarry. So, but in civilized society, there's not divorce. There's not widow remarriage can be allowed, but it's not recommended. So, in the same way, it's just like these statements are they're axiomatic. So, in the same way, my medicine should work. Oh. This just as Vasudev is unconquerable, oh, this doctor's medicine, yes, it will work. Who did you get that medicine from? Oh, this doctor has given, yes, it will work. The prayer is like that. For a poison-removing mantra from Charak Sanghita, Ratnakara eva akshobhyo, himavan eva chanchala, himavan eva achachalanshami. Jataveda eva adrishyo narayana eva ajaya. Let this poison removing mantra be effective just as the ocean is imperturbable. Himavan, Himalayas, Himalaya mountains, unshakable. Fire is unapproachable, and Narayana is unconquerable. So Parashara Bhatta hasn't finished yet. He's also giving references from more references from Ramayanam and Mahabharatam. Ajaya Shashvato Dhruva. He, Narayana, is invincible, eternal, and steady. Ajita Drik. He is unconquered, and he is the wielder of the sword. Drik. Yata Krishna Tato Jayaha. Where there is Krishna, there is victory. Certain. So many kings we find in the pastimes of Krishna recounted in Srimad Bhagavatam. So many kings thought they would conquer him. So many. He conquered them. Similarly, in Ram Leela, Ravana was absolutely confident of being aparajita, unconquered, unconquerable. And he didn't bother in the beginning. He sent the huge army of monkeys. They didn't even have any weapons. Just how a bunch of monkeys. And a couple of men, this Rama and Lakshman, plus my renegade brother with a few others, they have gone, and they've come, and they're going to fight. Just send, hey, one of my sons, hey, you go and finish. The son gets killed, the brother gets killed, And still, after Sonya being killed, then Ravana finally goes out himself. And he still feels fully unconquerable. And he's conquered. Ram is unconquerable. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad. Maitasmin sang vadishta indra vaikunto parajita seneti va aham etam upasa iti. Shut up. Don't argue about this. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, I worship that Lord Hari who is full of six opulences, who resides in Vaikuntha and whose associates are unconquerable. His associates are unconquerable, so what to speak of him? In the Vishnu Sahasranama Phala Shruti Shloka, the verses which give the outline the benefits of this chanting Vishnu Sahasranam, is quoted the last verse of Bhagavad Gita, Yatra Yogeshvara Krishno Yatra Parto Dhanadaraha Tatra Shriya Vijayo Bhutir Dhruvanitir Matir Mama. Where there's Krishna, the master of mystics, where there is Arjuna, the holder of the bow, there is also certainly prosperity, victory, wealth, and justice. This is my conclusion, says Sanjay. So these we get from Vishnu Sahasranam reciting, from taking shelter of Krishna and Arjuna. Then we should get prosperity, victory, wealth, and there should be morality, justice. Everyone is conquered by death in this world. Ultimately, everyone is conquered by death. Again, the example, Napoleon, Hitler, Stalin. They conquered so many lands, and ultimately they were conquered by death. But we find from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the 10th canto, Tava pariye charantya kila sattva niketataya ta utapada akramantya viganaya shiro nirite. The devotees who worship you as the shelter of all beings disregard death and place their feet on his head. Can walk over death. And this was also explained in the 4th canto of Bhagavatam. I'll just read the verse without translation. Dhruva was enlightened regarding the personality of Godhead, and he ascended to the abode of the Lord, placing his feet on the head of death. From the purport by Srila Prabhupada, when Dhruva was due to quit this world, death was waiting for him. It's time to die. Came to get you. And Dhruva just walked past death. He did not care for death, however. And even with his present body, he boarded a spiritual airplane and went directly to the abode of Vishnu, the planet of Vishnu. Baladev Vidyabhushan states that this name, Aparajita, he who cannot be defeated by others, but by the devotees, he is Parajit. And this is a major theme of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The sweetness, the feel, the Pibhata Rasa Bhagavatam, we're enjoined to drink the rasa of Srimad Bhagavatam. And a major part of that rasa is seeing that the unconquerable God is conquered by the love of his devotees. So I'll read out a few samples of this. Again, in the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, Narad Muni, his guru, is describing Ajitang Prabhum Jigaya Tad Bhakta Gunai Parajitam. Narad said, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is unconquerable, Ajita, Dhruva Maharaj defeated him with the specific qualifications possessed by the Lord's devotees. Because Dhruva had become a devotee, he had all the qualities of a devotee, he was able to conquer the unconquerable. Then going into the 6th canto, chapter 16, text 34, Chitraketur Uvacha Ajita Jita Samamati Bhi Sadhubir Bhavan Jitatna Bir Bhavata Vijitas Te Pi Chabajatam Akamat Manang Ya Atnadoti Karuna. Chitraketu, speaking to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said, O unconquerable Lord, although you cannot be conquered by anyone, that's the meaning of Ajita, you are certainly conquered by devotees who have control of the mind and the senses. They can keep you under their control because you are causelessly merciful to devotees who desire no material profit from you. Indeed, you give yourself to them, and because of this, you also have full control over your devotees. Look at this. This is beautiful. Devotees control Krishna by giving themselves fully to Krishna. Krishna feels, now I'm indebted to the devotee, and he allows himself to be controlled by them. But then, because Krishna gives himself fully to the devotees think that, oh, he's given himself to me, so I just want to act for him. And in this way, the devotee controls Krishna, and Krishna controls the devotees. This is worth discussing. Srila Prabhupada discusses it further. It is very beautiful purport. All the purports are beautiful. This one, in my humble estimation, is particularly beautiful. I'll read it. The Lord and the devotees both conquer. The Lord is conquered by the devotees, and the devotees are conquered by the Lord. Because of being conquered by one another, they both derive transcendental bliss from their relationship. The highest perfection of this mutual conquering is exhibited by Krishna and the gopis. The gopis conquered Krishna, and Krishna conquered the gopis. Thus, whenever Krishna played his flute, he conquered the minds of the gopis, and without seeing the gopis, Krishna could not be happy. Other transcendentalists, such as gyanis and yogis, cannot conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only pure devotees can conquer him. Pure devotees are described as samamati, which means that they never deviate from devotional service under any circumstances. It is not that devotees worship the Supreme Lord only when happy. They worship him even when in distress. Happiness and distress do not hamper the process of devotional service. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam says that devotional service is ahaitukya pratihata, unmotivated and uninterrupted. When a devotee offers devotional service to the Lord without any motive, anyabhilashita shunyam, his service cannot be hampered by any material condition. Apratihata. Apratihata is a pretty good synonym of, can be taken as a synonym of aparajita. It's unconquerable, unstoppable. Thus, a devotee who offers service in all conditions of life can conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A special distinction between devotees and other transcendentalists, namely the gyanis and yogis, is that gyanis and yogis artificially try to become one with the Supreme, whereas devotees never aspire for such an impossible accomplishment. Devotees know that their position is to be eternally servants of the Supreme Lord and never to be one with him. Therefore, they are called samamati or jitatma. They detest oneness with the Supreme. They detest oneness with the Supreme. They have no lusty desires for oneness. Instead, their desire is to be freed from all material hankering. Therefore, they are called nishkam, desireless. A living entity cannot exist without desires, but desires that can never be fulfilled are called karma, lusty desires. Karma is taistai hridagyanaha. Because of lusty desires, non-devotees are deprived of their intelligence. Thus, they are unable to conquer the Supreme Lord, whereas devotees, being freed from such unreasonable desires, can conquer the Lord. Such devotees are also conquered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because they are pure, being free from all material desires, they fully surrender to the Supreme Lord, and therefore the Lord conquers them. Such devotees never aspire for liberation. They simply desire to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. Because they serve the Lord without desires for remuneration, they can conquer the mercy of the Lord. The Lord is by nature very merciful, and when he sees that his servant is working without desires for material profit, naturally he is conquered. And so the name Aparajita is refuted. He is conquered. He's unconquered, but there's one loophole. He's conquered by love. Here's another beautiful verse from the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 81, text 40. Evang savipro bhagavat suhrittada drishtvasva vrityayar ajitang parajitam tadhyana vegod gratitatma bandhanas tadhama lebhe chiratas satangatim. Heard the word there? Parajitam. Ajitam parajitam. Thus, seeing how the unconquerable Lord is nonetheless conquered by his own servants, the Lord's dear Brahmana friend, yes, we're talking about Sudama, felt the remaining knots of material attachment within his heart being cut by the force of his constant meditation on the Lord. In a short time, he attained Lord Krishna's supreme abode, the destination of great saints. In the purport, it's described, Sudama's earthly fortune has been described, and now Shukadev Goswami describes the treasure the Brahmana enjoyed in the next world. Shrijiva Goswami mentions that Sudama's last trace of illusion lay in the subtle pride of being a renounced Brahmana. This trace was also destroyed by his contemplating the Supreme Lord's submission to his devotees. So Krishna is Aparajita, he's Parajita, conquerable, conquered by his devotees, and especially in Vrindavan this is true. here's a verse from describing just one of the multifaceted blissful pastimes of Vrindavan. Krishna is playing dice, gambling. Akshaya vikridata prena naramalapa purasaram parajito pripriyaya jitam hi vadan jitam iti vadan risha. Radha and Krishna are playing dice, gambling, and they're laughing and joking with each other as they play. Krishna is defeated by Radha. There you go. Defeated. But he remembers, but I'm Aparajita. I didn't lose. I can't lose. I didn't lose. He falsely claims he's the winner. Okay, what's Shankaracharya? It's going from Vrajalila to Shankaracharya. Well, Shankara's also got a lot of nice things to say about Krishna. What does he say? His interpretation is that Bhagawan is Aparajita because internally desire, kam, krodh, lobh, all these bad qualities, material qualities, cannot conquer him. Lust, desire, greed, anger, envy, so many things. And externally, demons and others cannot conquer him. That's inspired understanding. So there we have Krishna, Aparajita. Well, what do we learn from all this? He's unconquered and cannot be defeated by anyone at any time, but he is conquered. He wants to be conquered by love. In all times, places, circumstances, by anyone, in any way, he cannot be conquered. But the name Aparajita is like a challenge to the devotees. Can you bring him under control? Challenge, not in this, yeah, that how by my love I will force him. I will force him to come under my control. Duryodhana wanted to bring him under control by force, impossible, and Arjuna by submission brought Krishna under control, and he became the chariot driver. So, we worship Aparajita, remember Aparajita, love him. Love, yes. Then we can't be defeated by any any bad force in this world. There are so many bad things. Material, we can't maintain the body forever. We may come under the control in some ways of very bad people and very bad circumstances. But always remember aparajita. And don't get defeated. We hear in all these personality development things, don't be defeated, keep your spirits up. We can do that in devotional service by remembering Krishna. Krishna is not defeated, and if we take shelter of him, we can also conquer. We're here to conquer over material nature. Understanding that, we're here in devotional service to conquer under material nature. Understand, I can't conquer, but Krishna can. Krishna is always conquering over material nature, so let me take shelter of Krishna. Always be confident. And confident, not in our own puny little powers, but the immeasurable powers of Krishna, which Krishna is willing to bestow on his devotees who submit to him. So by submitting to he who is who does not conquer by anyone, who does not submit to any, he doesn't submit to anyone who tries to conquer him, but if we submit to him, then he agrees to be conquered in that way. Otherwise, at our level, we're always conquered. At his level, always unconquered. So in this way, we can remain undefeated despite all reverses in life. Take shelter of Krishna by taking shelter of the devotees, and we'll also become unconquerable. Devotees, they are oceans of mercy. Devotees carry in their hearts swantasthena gadabrita. They carry that club carrying Lord in their hearts. That club is for smashing out the demons, and devotees carry them in his heart. So with the power of Krishna, the all-merciful devotees, they don't like to see the distress of others who are forgetting Krishna. So with the club of their mercy, they destroy all the misconceptions and the egoism of persons who are away from Krishna and bring them to Krishna. So we have to take shelter of the devotees. Devotees are very merciful. We are foolish, but they will forgive us if we're sincerely trying to come up in Krishna consciousness. The hearts of the great pure devotees, they're always pure. There's no contaminating influence within their heart which causes them to be separated from Krishna. There's no envy, hate, illusion, material attachment. When they see persons like myself, when Srila Prabhupada saw all over the world, in the Western countries, there are so many people forgetting Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada came very mercifully to pick us all up, feeling for the fallen, confused, miserable condition of persons like myself, who are just in the lowest possible condition, just so much in illusion, I didn't even have any idea I was in illusion. I knew there was something wrong, but I couldn't work out what it was. An illusion, forgetful of Krishna, uninterested in Krishna, never heard of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada prayed at Krishna's lotus feet to get the power for him to conquer over this seemingly impossible, thick illusion which was hanging over like a thick fog or a thick smog covering the knowledge, the Krishna consciousness of the living beings in the Western world. So we take shelter of such devotees who desire to deliver us, and they, by bringing Krishna's mercy to this world, they help us to conquer over Maya, who is otherwise unconquerable. So Krishna is already conquered by such great devotees who realize that Krishna the unconquered, is he who we should take shelter of. This name, Aparajita, will also come again in verse 92. Name 866, so there's more to speak about this name, but we have some way to go yet to reach up to there. So let us pray for the grace of the unconquerable Lord, that we may go on speaking, discussing, hearing, remembering these topics of himself, so that our existence may be purified. And you never know, one day we might even be able to tie up Krishna. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. All glories to the devotees at his lotus feet. All glories to Mother Yashoda, but don't tie him up too tight, please. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nidhaya trunakam nipatya eva kritva chakaku shatametata hambravimi hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya dura chitan goranga chandra charane kuruta.